Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to In My Pajamas Show at Blog Talk Radio with your host, Amy Bakari. Please feel free to call into the show and chat with Amy at 347-945-5519. Without further ado, here's Amy.
Okay, I gotta do something about that intro. It's kind of too sexy and too kind of like strip-y kind of deal. We gotta do re-edit about that. Anyway, yes, this is Amy Bakari broadcasting live this afternoon from Atlanta, Georgia. Yes, it's a cool, well, it's not really cool, but, you know, it's a so-so 73 degrees, so it's sunny compared to a cloudy yesterday. Not complaining. Today, our guest is one of Hollywood's upcoming character actresses there. She played the offbeat Wendy Chapman. Okay, this is a very, very difficult last name. No Mister. I got to ask her about that. On the ABC drama series Detroit 187, her television credits include Private Practice, Girlfriends, and has worked in the big screen with directors Joe Dante, who is very familiar if you are a Hawaii Five-O fan, Ron Howard, Bryce Dallas Howard, Mark Ruffalo. Ooh, sexy. And this summer, she'll be in feature films like The Collection, Not That Funny, and Zombie. Last year, she was in Hawaii Five-O 2.07, Sacred Bone, sorry, I cannot say the Hawaiian translation, playing Nikki, and had the opportunity to have a scene with Axel Laughlin and Lauren German. We'll be talking with her about it. Erin Wade is currently right now in Canada, and she'll tell us a little more something about it and the why and what show she's gonna be in. Let us welcome to the show. Hello, Erin.
Hi, guys. Hi, Amy. How's it going?
It's going good. Like, you know, I know our, I know the music is so whatever, but yeah, I got
it. It was very like late night jazz. You know, radio show. I was like, oh, this is smooth. I liked it.
You know what? It's actually a jazz music from a friend of ours who's a jazz performer. It was the intro of her music. It's like we said, can we use it for, you know, OBB? And it stayed like that. It's like that for 4 years. And like every time I hear it, it's like, it's either somebody's going to ask me, are you in your pajamas? Yeah, did you memo? It has to be here when you come to this show. Who is that? Oh, John Wellner of CSI. I had him 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Me, I gotta ask, are you in your pajamas?
It does sound like that. He has a point.
Okay. Let me first of all thank you for coming in. I do my internet show. It's like, you know, it's getting in touch with people. I do my little research, and I'm just so fortunate that most of the time I get the people I wanted. And you were one of those easy to get in touch with.
Like, oh, good.
It's like, okay, let me find her. What is her name? Is it like, you know, we were the rebroadcast of Sacred Bones was like 2-3 weeks ago. I got to have her on my show. You know, it's like, you know, it's that. And then found you on Twitter, found you on Facebook. And that's,
yeah.
And there, lo and behold, you responded. And I said, you should have seen me do my hula dance, girly.
That's great.
And then, you know, like what I told you, we have the fan web blog for Team H5O, which we tried to make it, you know, get to know all the people, not just the cast, but all the people who got involved in the show. So we tried to get in touch with those people who guested on the show. It gets to know them. The fans gets to know them. And I said, okay, since we have the show, let's have her on the show. It just happened that you have this new show coming up, which we're going to talk about it a little later.
Yeah.
But I wanted to know, because, like, you are about ballet dancer, from what I heard.
Well, I was a ballet dancer. I don't know if I could call myself a ballet dancer currently, but I was for a very, very long time, and at one point thought that was what I was going to do, and then got kind of into the high school age, and it got, you know, once you get to a certain age, it's kind of, there's a fork in the road as far as the dancer goes, and you can either decide this is what I'm going to do professionally or not. And I just chose to try to find something else. It was a little, I loved it dearly, but you kind of have to dedicate your entire life. It's a very intense profession. It's extremely intense, and it's extremely competitive in a different way than acting is, I think. And I just decided that it wasn't, the professional road wasn't for me. So at that point, I looked for something else to do. So,
and then you went to theater, and I think that was one of the questions that I threw into you. And it's like, you went into theater, and how was that? How was the experience?
It was literally one of those things where I was, my family moved to a new town, and I think that was kind of a pivotal reason why I chose to try theater, is that I didn't know anyone in the town that I was living in, and it was kind of an opportunity to create a fresh start and do something new, and I would have never in a million years guessed that I would try out for a play, and a musical at that, but was kind of like, you know what? I have nothing to lose because nobody knows who I am. I can make a fool of myself. It's not really going to matter. And then ended up getting a part in the first thing I tried out for, and just had a blast. Really mainly because of the community that theater is a very, I guess TV and film can be this way too, but there's something about a theater production. You just definitely create a very tight knit group and family amongst the cast and crew, because it's hard work, and it's pretty intense hours-wise, and so I really kind of fell in love with that instant family that you got, and I threw myself in, and it was kind of, from there on out, it was kind of a no-brainer that that's what I was going to be doing.
Have you done, like, other, I know you started with, what triggered everything is the theater that you, it's a play called Secret Garden, but after that, have you done anything else leading to what you're doing theater right now?
I did quite a few plays at that theater that I did the Secret Garden at, and then I moved on to do, to study theater for a bit in Portland. Okay. And did some productions there. I've only done one play in L.A. I did a production of The Shape of Things. But theater is very intensive hours-wise, and it's a little difficult to juggle that and TV and commercial work. So I haven't really I did one other play, actually, just recently that my boyfriend's brother wrote and directed. I did that at the beginning of this year. But it's just really hard to kind of, you have to do it at a slow time of year, because otherwise it can get a little tricky negotiating the time and all of that sort of thing. So that's kind of why I haven't done any more theater than that.
But, for somebody who has been in the theater, would you agree that probably the best training ground for any actor is the theater?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, that's my own personal experience, but I do feel like there is an aspect of theater that that I personally found was very tricky, which was that you have to find a way to be intimate and honest, but do it in a way that everybody in the theater can hear. And it seems like a very simple problem, but it's actually one of the hardest things to do, is to be able to be heard by hundreds of people, but make the emotion and the thought behind that very intimate. And so if you can, I feel like if you can really accomplish that, then when you get in front of a camera and you can make all of your thoughts and your emotions super, super tiny, it's kind of, it's so much easier rather than having to learn that the opposite way, going from TV to theater, I think can be a much trickier transition. So, and then the material in classic theater, some of the material of the plays are just, it's some of the greatest material out there. So it also gives you an opportunity to work on characters that are just really, really rich. So.
And from doing theater, was that the one that moved you to Los Angeles? That one that took you to Los Angeles as far as, acting in general?
Well, yeah, I mean, it did in a very fate-like way in that I was vacillating between L.A. and New York as far as I was actually leaning much more towards New York. I thought theater was going to be my path, and so New York would be the place to go. And so I was looking to move. I was going to move there, and then I did a play in Ashland, Oregon, called Lobby Hero with a gentleman named Bob McCracken, and he was my co-star, and he asked me where I was, you know, what I was thinking of doing, and I said, oh, I think I'm going to go to New York, and he was like, you know, that's totally fine, but my recommendation to you would be to go to L.A. first.
Really?
He was like, you've got a great look. I think you could really do well there. I have an agent there. I will set up, I'll give her your name, and maybe, you know, at least you'll have a contact with one person there, and maybe she'll take you on and just give it a shot, because he was like, you can always go to New York later if you want to, but L.A. likes youth and young people, and he was like, now's the time to go when you're young. And so I was like, okay. So I just a month later picked up and left and knew one person and one agent, and that agent is the woman that represents me now, Gloria. And it just kind of like all fell into place. So she signed me, and I quickly started booking commercials after that. And, it was clearly the right move, I think, for me. So.
And how long have you been in LA before the real job, so to speak, kicked in, you know? I mean, not just like, you know, I mean, there are roles like, I know there's like a lot of auditioning, callbacks, read back, stuff like that. You know, it takes a while to get there. And how long, if you don't mind me asking, did you have to kind of wait?
It seemed like eternity, but it really wasn't. It wasn't. It wasn't too long, I guess, in the grand scheme of things. I mean, people always say that LA is a 10-year town. In that it takes around that time for you to really be established. And I, when I first moved there, was like, that's ridiculous. And now I'm kind of like, no, that actually makes a lot of sense. Just because I think, you know, I don't know, it's a variety of things, but you kind of have to pay your dues. There are, of course, exceptions, and people get kind of overnight success kind of out of nowhere. And, you do hear those stories, and that they definitely do occur. For me, I think it was a couple years at least of just doing commercials before I got my first TV role. And you know, the first one I think was Girlfriends, which I got through my agent, and then the second one that I got was Private Practice, which I got through just doing a casting workshop with Linda Lowy, who cast that show. So, you know, it's not even, it's like, it's roundabout ways that you get these things too. It's not necessarily always just through your agent. It can be through putting yourself out there at workshops, or people meet you. You meet people through acting class or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just a variety of factors kind of can come together for you to book apart, but I would say it was at least 2 years or so, maybe a little bit longer, before TV work started coming.
Hey, when people ask me about stuff like that, I usually say, just look at George Clooney. It took like seven canceled pilots before ER. You know, I mean, and look at him now. So I guess it's an investment of time and patience at the same time. And,
I mean, there was some kind of statistic, and I can't remember the exact number, so I'm going to totally butcher it, but somebody told me about, you know, like, it was something like 2,000 actor hopefuls move to L.A. a week, and like over 70% of them leave within the first month because, you know, I think people come in with an idea that you're going to land and just get an agent and everything's going to begin right away. And that doesn't always happen. And so, you know, the drop-off rate is very high. So if you just persist, I believe, if you just stick with it, you know, the competition's going to get smaller and smaller because people die off because they just give up, you know. So I think if you just stick with it, you know, then it's just going to be that combination of persistence and the right role. And, you know, for Clooney, I think it was ER, I believe, is what kind of made him. Yeah. But you know, we kind of forget that ER was the, after a long line of possible breakthrough roles that he could have, you know, had. So he just persisted, and it definitely paid off. So.
And that is correct. It's like, I work with, not really work, but I usually meet, my daughter is into performing arts, you know, she's in elementary, and you would meet parents who are into like, oh, an agent got a call, you know, I know parents who moved to LA and were in Atlanta, you know, and then come back 2 years later because, you know, we cannot just spend that much time. And I said, well, you know, it depends on really how persistent you are. And I guess it's different when the kids are younger.
Yeah.
You come in younger, you know, the Disney kind of thing. But for somebody like you who went there having all this, like, not really missteps, but, you know, like what you said, it's a process. How do you stay in focus and that kind of like we're in a place and in an environment where 85% is basically a rejection. 85% of the time you'll get a rejection. I mean, I'm not being realistic, but, you know, that's what they usually say, you know, in a town where most of the time you'll hear is, no, we'll call you back, and they never call.
Yeah. I mean, I would say it's probably higher than 85%, if we're going to be honest. there's really no, I have my own things that I do. I also have quote unquote almost given up thousands and thousands of times. So we all go through. I am not one of those people that has always stayed, you know, hopeful. I have my moments of like, this is never going to happen. And I've never considered stop, you know, quitting acting, but I've definitely had the moments of like, okay, Hollywood and I are just not, this is not a good fit. This is just not going to work. And, but usually it lasts like a day and then it goes away, you know, where you get another audition. So there's another new part to kind of throw yourself into. For me, the one true, I think the saving grace for me has always been classes and always been acting classes. There was a period of time where I didn't take classes and I started turning into a crazy person. And so if I didn't have a couple classes at least a week to go to, I think I would probably get pretty despondent at times. But it keeps you basically focused. You can focus on a role, which is kind of, you know, the fuel for an actor is just having a role to be working on. And then also just reminds you that, okay, this is something that I can do, and this is something that I enjoy to do, and enjoy doing, and so it kind of reinvigorates me. That's been my kind of secret, is just taking as many classes as I can possibly afford.
We spoke about the shows that you have been. You had a recurring role, correct me if I'm wrong, with Detroit 187.
Yeah.
How long did that, how many episodes were you in?
I think I was in, gosh, this is going to be horrible because I'm going to forget. I believe that I was between I was in between 5 to 7 episodes.
Okay.
I can't remember the exact number. But I started within, I believe, in the towards the end of the September, and then wrapped at the beginning of January. So I was there for a while, and it wasn't the same as the. I didn't live in Detroit. I flew back and forth, so I would stay for like 2 weeks, and then come home, and then go back again. I was on around 5 to 6 episodes of that, I believe.
And you've been in a couple of films. You've worked with this film director. Is there a preference as far as working as a television in a television series compared to a movie?
I think if I had my pick, I would probably choose film. I'm not. Yeah, I would have to say movies. I'm a huge fan of film in general, and I also am a little ADD. So I don't officially have that, but I think the idea of throwing myself into a character and working on it for 1 to 2 months versus throwing myself into a character and working on them for 6 to 7 years on a TV show, that the first one appeals to me a little bit more. It just gives you the opportunity to have a way more of a variety of characters, you know, that you can play.
Yeah.
And you get to go and maybe go to a different part of the world for a couple months, and then you go back home and do your thing. I think for the most part, that's probably what I prefer. The money isn't always as good as television, but I do think my passion would have to be in film if I had my choice.
Okay, I gotta ask this, or else they're gonna chop my liver here. I gotta.
Okay.
It's Hawaii 5-0 question. I'm assuming that you got the role. Correct me if I'm wrong. That you got the role from 5-0 because working with Joe Dante before.
I definitely got the audition. I mean, well, you know, I'm sure Joe has some pull as well in the casting. I don't know what the hierarchy order of decision making is, but Joe and I had worked on this Netflix internet series or mini series thing called Splatter about a year previous to that, and we really enjoyed working together, and so he did call me in for the role, so I think that probably had a lot to do with it. He felt, for whatever reason, the character isn't anything like the one that I played in Splatter, but for whatever reason, Joe and his good instincts thought that I could pull Nikki off, and so he was like, you need to bring this girl in. So, and I was very excited to have that opportunity.
Okay, how many days did you have to prepare for the role?
I think that I got the part. I got word that I had booked the part, and then I flew out to Hawaii, I think about a week later or so. Maybe a little longer than that. Not very long. I'm a little lazy on prep work, I'm not going to lie to you. So I tend to memorize the lines right away and then kind of then put everything away. I tend to kind of let it percolate, and I just kind of let it just sit there in my mind for a while. And then when I get to the set, not to set even, but when I get to location, that's kind of when I really start doing a lot more intense focus on, you know, whatever scene's coming up and et cetera. But I would say I had about a week or so. Fortunately, the one scene that I did was the one scene that I auditioned with, so I didn't really have to memorize any lines. I already knew them, so my job was relatively easy. But I had probably about a week or so.
Were you able to get around, go around Hawaii?
They flew me in kind of earlier on a Sunday, I think. And so I had that whole day, and then I shot on a Monday, and then I went out on a later flight the next day. So I had a good, like, probably 2 days total. I didn't see a lot of the island. I saw a lot of the resort where I was staying. I didn't really have transpo to get around, or the time to really figure out how to get around the island. But what I saw of it was gorgeous. It rained maybe once, just a little bit, but it was beautiful. I would love to go back.
Oh, gosh, it is. It's good to die for. And I usually ask that because I said, okay, most of these people, we usually, you know, the nice thing with having folks who go to the show right now and having the fans talk, most of you guys who's been on the show are very, how do you call this, open to the fans on Twitter. You know, they talk to them, you know, they're going to tweet you how it's like this, how like that. And they will tell you where to go. Because you got to remember, most of the fans in Hawaii, of Hawaii Five-O, has been in Hawaii. You know, they attended. And I usually say, okay, you got to have the malasadas, the shaved ice, and the loco moco. And you got to go back. You got to tell your
agent. I got to go back.
You got to go back. You know, whether it's going to be a show or what. See, it's a promotion of Hawaii by itself. But, yeah, you don't want to miss those things. But I know for a fact that it's nice. It's nice to stay there. You know?
It's beautiful. And it's not a bad place to go and shoot, for sure. And I would love to go back, either for shooting or just for, you know, vacation. I would love to go back and explore more.
Hello, Peter Lenkov, we're calling. Can you please bring back Erin? Okay.
I know, right? Maybe Nikki needs to come back and help solve the crime.
Yeah, we're going to have a good, great story about Nikki. You know, they're writers. They can be more creative.
I think she's got more talents than people will give her credit for. I think she could crack some cases. That's my opinion.
Hey, you know, it's like, I mean, I'm not like, you know, some people, when I don't know how you do it, how you did it, that thing, you're like looking at McGarrett's face and saying that in a straight face.
Yeah.
I mean, I can imagine Alex O'Loughlin just cracking up on a thing. I said, I wonder how many times did they have to take that?
You know, it's funny. I don't know if you want me to answer that question, but...
Yeah, please do. That's like, you know...
Okay, okay, good. What's funny is the whole... normally what you do is you go in, you do a little line read through, you read the lines, you stand in the room, you read the lines, they figure out blocking, et cetera, and that's your first thing, and then they set up lights, and then you do the scene. So we were doing kind of like a little bit of a read through with lines, and I don't normally go full out on those kind of read-throughs. So I think Alex, he was very friendly, both of them were, but he was a little wary of like, okay, what is this girl going to do? Because I was kind of just being myself reading these lines. I just enjoy kind of like not spilling the beans on what I'm going to do until we're actually rolling, because I feel like the element of surprise is very effective.
Yeah.
So you know, we did that and then set up lights and then did the scene. And his only we never had to retake a scene because he cracked up. I mean, there was no cracking at all, no breaking. He just, after every take, he'd be like, "You're scary, man. You're creeping me out." And so I just, we were able to really stay in it. And I didn't, I don't ever remember laughing, really. We were able to stay really focused. I think I was just kind of really making him uncomfortable, which was my goal, so.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
For able to do that, you know. Because, like, a lot of people, I spoke with William Lee, who played Sangmin, was on the show earlier this year, last year rather, and he said, if something that cracks him up every time they have a scene, it's Scott Gunn. And, you know, it's like, and if they're together, it's like it's so contagious. So you cannot really stop, and you have to redo the entire. I had just had to ask that question because
that's
looking at your face and his face, it's like I don't know. I just
the jokes and the laughing were strictly reserved to in between takes, and we did a lot of joking and laughing during the breaks. But once it was rolling, no, we were pretty focused. So that was good.
All right. Okay. And I'm sure, I mean, Lauren, we met Lauren during Sunset on the Beach, and she's one nice girl. She's very
she's
sweet.
She's super nice. Yeah.
And, you know, she's like, you said in your question, like, she has a new show coming up in NBC, which is, you know, we're very happy for her. But let me talk to you about your new show.
Okay.
How's that? I know I'm not supposed to ask about the character, but sad to say, my dear, they spilled the beans in one of the websites who Kat is going to be.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh.
I found it in a sci-fi, like, spoiler kind of deal. But, talk about, because, you know, like what you said, element of suspense, they have to watch the show to find out who Kat is. How did you, I mean, aside from the fact that, of course, it's an audition thing, how did you find this role?
I got the audition, a couple of factors. I got it through my agent, found it, but also Suzanne, who cast the show, cast me in Girlfriends, my very first television role. And she was brought on this second season to cast for Alphas. Okay. And so, you know, I've gone in for her on a couple of occasions in between Girlfriends and now. And she's maybe one of the greatest casting directors I've ever auditioned for. She truly loves actors. And you feel so safe when you're working with her. It's a pleasure to audition for her. So, you know, it was a variety of factors, obviously. She brought me in because she and I have worked together before, and we're friends, and, you know, we get along. And but then, you know, I mean, like a lot of the parts that I have got booked, Kat was very instinctual for me. I kind of got her right away. She made sense to me on the page. So it was a very easy fit. I feel like I instinctually understand who she is. And, you know, that's kind of a pleasure to be able to play a part that's very close to your heart and like that you really understand. I think all they've announced officially is that she's a new team member, but beyond that, that's all I'm allowed to say. So,
when is it going to be airing, Erin?
The series begins airing in July, and my first episode is the third episode in. So the third episode is when my character is introduced.
Okay, I think I'm allowed to ask, how is it like to work with you have a phenomenal cast.
Yeah.
I've seen the show. And it just happened that it runs with Hawaii 5-0, my dear. So I got to DVR you to be able to watch you. So I've seen the show, and one of the characters that I really, really like, which I think, you know, is Ryan's character.
Yeah.
And you know, the way I know you're filming right now. And were you able to work with them already as far as the entire cast is concerned, or it's just like specific roles with somebody that you've been working with?
Basically, what's going down is that I'm getting the pleasure of being able to work very, very, very in depth. It seems like each episode I'm working with one character per episode, which is a great way to get to know each of the actors. But Ryan and I have worked together a little bit, and he is pretty phenomenal. I mean, you know, I would say that at every table read. Ryan improvs. I mean, he just improvs all over the place. Gary is just nothing like Ryan. So it's kind of incredible to get see him turn into Gary and then just riff.
Good.
It's just insane. He is so good. And a really sweet guy as well. So the cast is kind of insane. I mean, we've got David Strathairn, who is like, speaking of George Clooney, he was in George Clooney's movie.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel so lucky because in the last show that I did, I got to work with Michael Imperioli. And mm-hmm. then this show, I get to work with David Strathairn, and it's kind of like you don't get the opportunity to work with actors of this caliber very often. It's just insane that I get to hang out with him every day. It's weird.
No, I'm sorry. It's kind of cool, you know. I mean, you waited. This is. I think. I mean, at this point of your career, I think it's safe to say, you know, it's worth the wait.
Yeah.
You know, all those things that wasn't happening in the first 2 years. I think you're. I mean, for somebody who's been there, who's been waiting, you're getting one thing after the other. I mean, I think that's phenomenal. And it's like an example. Hey, look at me. I waited.
Right.
I persisted. I'm here. You know, it doesn't mean it's going to work all the time, but I'm here.
Yeah.
And I think for young actresses like you, who are not just, you know, who's doing character roles. Let's be specific about it. I mean, doing character roles and getting character roles is very hard to get and being taken seriously.
Yeah, that is actually a very good point. I was thinking about this a couple days ago in that the path of a character actor, which I can't really help but be just because of my size and my voice, and I'm just... There's no way that I'm going to fit into anything but that kind of a path. But it's a little difficult simply because it just takes more time because it's confusing at times for Hollywood to know how to use a person that doesn't fit necessarily a niche. So,
correct.
So if it's great for me as an actor that all of my parts have been very different, it's confusing for Hollywood to know what to do with me. So it just can take a little longer to really get in a groove because, you know, it's not like I am their go-to for X, Y, and Z because they just don't really know, you know, they're not really sure where I fit. So you have a very good point. It's a little bit of a, I don't know if it's an awful fun road. So I wouldn't say it's a hard road, but it just takes a little bit more time. Maybe to get established.
Okay. I know you've been posting on Facebook, and I did ask you about it. You want to talk about your friend's Kickstarter before I let you go?
Oh, my gosh. Please. Yes. Oh, I hope there's so many people listening. There's a movie called I Am Not a Hipster, with starring a very good friend of mine. His name is Dominic Bogart. He was the one person that I knew when I moved to L.A., and I think he is maybe one of the most talented actors that nobody knows about in the world. This movie is extremely important because he is a singer and songwriter as well, and it showcases all of those abilities. He sings. And is in the film and wrote some of the songs. So it's kind of truly a showcase for his talent. And also the director is a very up-and-coming Sundance favorite director. But anyway, they've just decided to go ahead on their own and try to raise funds to release the movie independently. And I think that's a very brave.
Very, yes, it is.
Bold move, but I think it also speaks to their dedication in wanting to have control over how this movie is marketed and put out into the world, and because they do care about it that much. So anyway, if you look up I Am Not a Hipster on Kickstarter, I believe the campaign ends at the end of June. They still have a lot of money to raise, but it's really just about, you know, it's not really about the dollar amounts of donations. It's about the number of donations. So if people just donate $1, $5, it's going to really help. And there's several videos on there to really show you that it's a great project to support. So,
well, we'll try to get in touch with Dominic and probably have him on the show, and he can talk about it before June.
Should totally do that. And if you need help getting in touch with him, I've got his contact info. I'll be your hookup.
Great. You know, no, let's put it this in on the air. Get in touch with him. You tell me, hey, you know me. I'll work with everybody's schedule.
Yeah.
Just for you. So, you know, I know you're filming right now. When you get the time, I'll do my research too. And then I'll just, can I name drop you? Erin.
Yeah. Please. Oh, please name drop me. Done. Yes, we are. Yeah, and I know that he'll be more than willing to do an interview for it. He's very, very, very dedicated to this project. So, yeah.
Well, anything else, Erin, you want to share with us? You know, just take it away.
Gosh, I guess the only thing is that I think my mom is listening, and my mother homeschooled me and all of my six siblings. There's not quite that many, but there's a lot of them. And I just like to give her a shout out because, you know, homeschooled kids can turn out normal and make it in the world. And I think it's a testament to her awesomeness. But I always like to give her a shout out because, her homeschooling had a lot to do with who I am. So, that's it. Shout out to my mom.
And it's a Mother's Day weekend.
There we go. Happy Mother's Day.
Hey, happy Mother's Day to Erin's mom. Because of you, we're talking to her right now. And
there
you
we go. Totally.
Okay, well, thank you, Erin, for everything, for your time, for taking out time.
No problem. It's my pleasure. Anytime. I enjoyed it very much.
All right. You take care somewhere in Canada.
Okay.
And,
okay.
It's a secret joke. But, you know, it's like, you keep us posted. Let us know how things are going. And don't be surprised if we're going to be tweet spamming you. So
tweet spam all you want. Go for it.
All right. You take care. And thank you so much.
Okay. No problem. Thank you so much, Amy.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it. That was Erin. Wait, I usually say Erin Joy because that's her Facebook name. But that's Erin Way. She is going to be the new character, Kat, at Sci-Fi. Like what she said, we can't really talk about it. But, you know, all you got to do is Google it and you'll find out who she is. But she is going to be at the, I believe, the second season of Sci-Fi. So I think they're going to be airing the second season somewhere. She said July. July. And she's going to be in the third season. For those of you who probably need a little refresher course, like those of you who are Hawaii Five-0 fans, she appeared at the second season, episode 17, Sacred Bones. And that was an interesting fact, you know, working with Alex O'Loughlin and Lauren German. But if you want to check her out, just Google her. If I'm not mistaken, her website is Erin. Okay, let me just, you know, I want to make sure that I know her Twitter. You can follow her on Twitter at Erin, E-R-I-N-J-O, Way. Erin Jo Way. Her website is like, I usually get it right away, but I didn't. But just type her name. I usually am. But she also has a Facebook page, so you gotta, you know, like her page on Facebook. And you were going to know more information when is she gonna come out. But like what I said, her latest gig is gonna be with Sci-Fi. That's gonna be airing on the second season. It's gonna be airing on July. And I would like to thank Jeff, who's her publicist, for coordinating with us this entire thing. It's been, yeah, you know, you got to thank the publicist. Okay, I found her website. It's erinway.org. And like what she said, you want to check out her friend's Kickstarter and show a little support to Dominic Bogart. And the movie is IamNotAHipster.com. So you want to check that one out. Here at In My Pajama Show, we are going to have a very fantabulous week next week. We're going to have Liz Vasey. We're going to have a couple of people from CSI, from Hawaii Five-O, and CSI, who's from who Liz Vasey is, but she's no longer there, but she will be. So the dates are going to be posted on our website. That's www.inmypajamashow.com. Let me re-say that. It's inmypajamashow.com. And next week, we're going to have Jack McGee. Jack McGee is actually going to be on a show that's going to air tomorrow at USA called Common Laws. And he's going to be on our show next week. And another favorite on Twitter right now, let me say, that's Carl Herlinger. Gosh, I hope I don't mispronounce his name. But he's going to be on the show next week, too. He's going to be talking to us right after the season finale in Hawaii Five-0. So, you know, these are the new stuff that we have next week. You got to stay tuned. We will be posting all our upcoming shows and all the upcoming stars. We're just so fortunate. So, for those of you who have been listening the past hour, thank you so much. And we'll see you next time. And that's going to be next week. Bye. Have a nice weekend.
Have been listening to Amy Beccari, the host of In My Pajamas Show. If you'd like to know more about upcoming guests and scheduled shows, if you just want to hear this show again or download any of the past In My Pajamas shows, log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/In My Pajamas Show. You can also learn more about other segments of In My Pajamas Show by using your web browser and logging on to www.inmypajamas.net.